apparently, and I've noticed it too, but I don't use Siri to have it answer a call. I haven't used Siri to have it call the last call or to read my email. But from what I'm hearing, a number of those items were taken out. And I guess there are some people who are pretty unhappy about that. And I believe that Apple is trying to put some of them back in right away. And so if you've noticed some changes and some things have come back, whatever you've lost that you normally used to do, keep trying. Some of those changes will come back immediately, and others will come back later in some updates. Anyway, so Michael is going to talk a little bit about iOS 15, and be ready with questions. If you have some glitches that you have noticed and you want to know if anyone can help you, we're here to talk about that. So take it away, Michael. It's funny, Linda. I think he's still listed as the host. I hope.
He is. It shows he was muted last I saw.
Okay.
Thank you, Brian. Shows muted.
So, Brian, have you downloaded iOS 15?
Oh, okay. There you go.
There you are.
I got muted somehow. Zoom is playing games today. I was asking Brian.
I think they're trying to tell us something. Like, yeah. You guys have been on here way too long. You think?
Maybe. So you didn't hear the music or anything. No wonder.
No, there was no music, no nothing.
Wow, I played two theme songs. Okay, that explains
it. Oh, really? I just thought maybe you were, like, taking
a break. No, I played We Shall Overcome, and I was in the middle of Accessible Technology, and she interrupted
me.
Oh, yeah. All right, now it makes sense. I can talk about iOS 15. I'd be curious if anyone else in here is using it. I'm currently on the beta. I got myself in the beta cycle because 14, for me, had so many bugs I upgraded. So some folks like 15, some do not.
So let me ask a quick question. I can't remember. Has it not officially come out yet? That's still beta?
Yeah, iOS 15. I mean, I'm using 15.1, one of the betas. I see Nathan here, so I'm going to elevate him if he'd like to comment on the iPhone. Let me see. Hold on just a second. Okay. All right. So yeah, I'm using iOS 15. Couple things that motivated me. The biggest one for me, and it's kind of a hit and miss, was all the revelations that, Siri is going to be so much better because it'll all be done on your phone. Well, sometimes it is, and when it is, it works great. But then sometimes it's still phoning home, going back to the cloud and talking to Apple before it'll process the data. So that was one of the biggest things I was very excited about. I hope they really do. And I'm guessing part of that depends on what kind of phone you have. I have the SE 2020, so it certainly should be new enough and a fast enough processor, but maybe not as much RAM as some of the, if you have the 10, 11, 12, 13. But, so that was one of my big things. So I like it when it works. I mean, cause sometimes you could send very long messages and it does really well. And sometimes it's almost as bad as it was before, but that was one of my motivators. I think the other thing that a lot of folks I'm really excited about, but I really haven't fully utilized it yet is the, ability now to read in real time, like when you're actually shooting video and actually having it describe objects and actually read on the fly. So if anyone here is doing that, I'd love to hear your experience with that. If Brian, Nathan, anyone is doing anything with that, because.
So explain a little more. This is not an app. It's.
You have to, go into your settings and enable something that downloads a file onto your phone. But then when you're using the camera, it can tell you things. Well, it can already tell you things in the pictures. I guess we'll start there. So you have pictures, and if there's text or things written inside that picture, it could read that. But if you get it working right, and it's kind of hit and miss for me. I was doing it today, you know, and it was telling me some things, but I haven't got it to actually read. Because some say it's doing better even than seeing AI with actual text detection and seeing things across the room or reading TV screens and things of that sort. I haven't gotten that to work yet. And I don't know if that's because I got to remove the profile that I put on my phone to get me out of the beta cycle, but I have to wait until 15.1 is officially released. So my mileage may be varying a little bit there, but it's a pretty cool concept. Some people have been raving about it. And I mean, if you truly have live OCR where you can literally point it at a thermostat, and if it's, you know, a nice screen and tell you 72 degrees or, you know, it's the actual set for 75, but the current temperature is 72 and just all kinds of cool things like that. So it's one of the things I've been very excited about, but haven't been fully successful in making that work for me personally right now. So like you mentioned, they took away some of the functionality in Siri. it wasn't particularly things I was using it for, but some people really did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You probably have a lot more there, Bonnie, with you teaching it every day, and you know what things are tripping up people or what.
Well, I know that I have a lot of trouble when I've recently tried to help people, like have an email read or, you know, and then respond. It won't send an email back. And it's been very frustrating. And people have come in my office and said, Siri doesn't do this for me anymore. And I really feel for them because, for those people that's what they rely on. Voiceover is very complicated. There's a lot of, we don't think of eye hand coordination as something you have when you're blind, but it really is a way of thinking of, your eye-hand coordination, and that your fingers have to be doing very specific movements. And if you drop another finger down, then something else will happen. If you get up into the status bar, then you're not where you need to be. So you have to pick your finger up and gently place it somewhere else so that you can get your phone to say what it you're wanting it to say, or, making sure that you're holding it well enough to get your finger down in the left-hand corner to hit a particular button, or making sure that swipe up to get to more info, or some of the other little swipes. Oh, when you're sending a text message, getting up to react or reply or whatever. Those movements are very specific. And if your hands shake a little bit, if your fingers, you're just, not used to being that specific, it can take time to learn voiceover. And for some people, it's just, they don't feel like they have that kind of time or energy. It takes a lot of energy. And I know when I first started using my phone, it was really hard. I felt like I just really wanted to throw it a few times. And I had pretty good, my finger stability was pretty good. But it was very hard. So people really rely on Siri. And I think that if Apple makes a commitment, they really need to stick to it and make sure that people can continue to use their products.
Yeah, I think
I haven't downloaded 15 yet.
Okay, so you're having a 14.8, pretty stable.
I don't know. There's definitely some issues. Let's see what happens. Like when I
real quick, can I add anything to that?
Absolutely.
Please do.
Yeah, one thing that I think in the blind community, we're not really taking the time to do so much in what they are doing in the quadriplegic or people who have palsy or MS is they really are taking advantage of voice control, and they're taking the time and the energy to get that down. Because when you get it down, if you start to look at the videos at first, that first year when it was out, it was a little more shaky, but I mean, they are moving very, very precisely to be able to access every part of the screen with voice control. And so again, in our community, we may not be doing that because we started off, of course, with Siri and VoiceOver. So I think that's where a lot of us have stayed in our level of comfortability or using a Braille device. And that's the other thing too, I think with people, that you may not even need to completely know Braille in order to take advantage of one of the Braille devices to control the iPhone Bluetooth wise. There are the arrow keys on there. You can, it has the pad in the middle. It has the enter, it has the arrows. So people could learn a handful of devices a handful of gestures or commands on there, maybe about 20. And even if they have some dexterity issues on a touchscreen, they might be able to get by very well with a Braille device.
Well, that's definitely a thought and something I have definitely put off. And
But does VoiceOver get in the way of voice control? If you're talking like actual hands-free and then using your voice, but then it's hearing VoiceOver talk back and trip up the responses.
Well, the thing that happens with the voice control is that you're not actually saying Siri.
Mm-mm.
So you're not saying, hey, Siri, it scans the voice to pick up specific controls. So you can even be having a conversation and it's listening, but it's listening for you to say a specific command that's in, I don't even know, dozens, if not 100 or more commands that are in the voice control manual.
I didn't mean Siri, but actual VoiceOver with it.
Oh, VoiceOver. You can use it when VoiceOver is on. Yes. But that is a good question because like Sharky, Sharky with Jaws sometimes will get a little tangled up, I've noticed. So I guess it's a possibility, but the client who I did work on it with, we didn't have problems with VoiceOver. But that's already been two and a half years. So I'm not sure where it is right now with that, because updates do break things or fix things. And I believe I actually had Siri answer a call the other day.
You did. I was like in shock. So his phone rang and he's got it in his ear, so I don't hear it ring. But then I heard him say answer call and I was like, what the heck? Yeah. So
that, again, for the community of people who can't use their hands that, you know, well, for
that
whatever reason.
That is very cool. Your hands are busy, right? Your hands are wet half the time. You're cooking. You get a call and to be able to say, hey, Siri, answer the call. That is like way freaking cool, I think.
Well, in that case, well, let me.
Oops, my Siri.
I believe I've done it once. Just Siri.
I'm calling you. I'm going to call you. Are you on your computer?
No, I'm on my phone. So
you can call me. Well, I don't have it set up for voice control like that, though.
No. It's just regular.
Well, no, this was a Siri, but for sure, when I have a Bluetooth headset in, it says answer call, and I say yes. And it will answer the call.
So Michael called
mine me. Will do that, but it says answer or ignore.
Oh, really?
On my Bluetooth. And then I'm wondering, though, on the pronunciation, if you have some trouble speaking certain words.
Are you talking about
how
voice
does
control?
It, yeah, with the voice control detecting what you're trying to say.
Well,
that's a possibility.
Works a little different. So with voice control, you can say things like swipe to the right, swipe to the left. Open, double tap, maybe. I think you can do double tap.
Yeah, you can do double tap, triple tap, move to top of screen. You can say those things.
Instead
and you can also have it open or close apps. And you don't have to say, well, Siri, I don't think, closes apps.
No.
And so
Siri won't operate the app switcher. So, for example, open, it'll open the app switcher, but it will not.
That's
close
a security thing. That they claim that's a security thing, which makes sense in a way. It's like Zoom. Zoom will go to sleep if you open the app switcher because they claim then you could see, you know, personal information or something. So I don't know. But
that's interesting. I mean, I use when I'm having trouble getting out of Zoom, I head for the app switcher and close it.
Right, but I'm saying once you're in that app switcher, your Zoom, you might hear it, but I don't think you can talk to Zoom anymore, or they can't see
your
screen
or
anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you want me to try to call you? Is that what you...
Yeah.
All right. Call Bonnie Lucas.
Calling Bonnie Lucas. Don't call Bonnie Lucas.
I don't know if anyone knows those new...
Hey, Siri, answer phone.
It worked. Hi, Bonnie.
Hey. Holy cow.
Hey. All right.
All right.
Now if I could only hang up. There we go.
Yeah.
That's been flaky lately. Yeah.
I didn't
we
think
got something new. If we figured out at least one new trick.
Yeah.
So here's a question. If your Siri stops working or it's very hard to get it to work, does that mean it's time to update or?
Or upgrade.
No. Well, one thing, Siri works differently whether you have, you know, whether you have your phone muted or not. So if it's not working right.
Well, it doesn't beep if your phone's muted for sure. I mean, you press the button.
Right. It doesn't beep. So you may not know the status unless you're looking at the screen.
Or you just determined that I've held it now for a second. Now I'm going to talk. Then it does. You know, I've done that when there are times when mine, I had it on mute, hoping I wouldn't. It's still on mute, actually. With my hearing aids, even when it's on mute, I guess it's because they want you to hear it, right? I can still hear it ring. Could you all hear my phone ringing as well?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's interesting.
On my Bluetooth headset right now, I'm actually out walking dogs. I can hear my VoiceOver plus the Zoom call just fine. It does duck the Zoom call just a little bit, and I'm using internet. I'm not using the actual phone dial-in. I'm using internet.
Wait,
so
go ahead.
So you have no problems your phone being in like a pocket or anything else to where sometimes it might dim the call or anything?
No. Well, I had it. When I first got on the call, it did lock the screen, but you guys stayed on and everything was just fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I often lock my screen. I do lock it when I'm in, when I want to put it in my purse or pocket and still be on it. And I just want to say for people who, have hearing aids, or think they need hearing aids, but don't know how that's going to work with the phone, Apple, this is one of the perks that people stick with Apple for, because Android does not have the same hearing aid service, and Apple does have the hearing aid part of their collection of accessibility options, and it really does work fairly well. The only problem that I have is when I try to connect. So if I try to connect a Bluetooth speaker or something, oftentimes it'll go back to the hearing aid and then I unconnect it and then it'll go back. So sometimes I have to turn off Bluetooth and then just, yeah, I do have problems with that. I know whenever I just use my phone without hearing aids, for example, if Warren and I are watching something, then I will turn off Bluetooth, just because. So sometimes the hearing aids can make it a little more complicated, but I want you to know it's pretty handy. The one thing that if you have hearing aids, you need to be aware of is that when you are on the phone, you're hearing the person in your hearing aids, but they are hearing everything around you. So occasionally I've been on the phone with someone and they say, well, it's so noisy because I don't realize that they're hearing the people in my house making noise, me handling stuff. And so at that point, I find that it's better that I have still go ahead and have headphones, or I get out of the noisy room, even though it doesn't seem very noisy to me. It's like they're on speaker. And almost sometimes it seems like it feels to them like it's louder than being on.
Well, it's like speakerphone. That's because they're getting your microphones from your hearing aids,
right?
To act as your microphone.
So it's picking up everything that I'm picking up.
Well, here's another thing with I think. Oh, go ahead, Michael. Sorry.
Now, I want to mention right before I forget with that short term memory I have these days. But
I hear you.
It has been rumored from a pretty reliable source that, of course, Apple's having an event this Monday, the 18th, and they're going to introduce some new products. Mainly, I think MacBooks or something, but one of the things they're going to introduce third generation, what they call those, AirBuds, AirPods, I get all the names confused, but that they're going to actually have functionality for folks with reduced hearing.
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah, I just heard that yesterday, so I will actually attend that event. That'll be 9 a.m. Alaska time. And what's cool about the Apple events is you can just go right in your browser, go to apple.com, and there's a link there, and you can listen, and they have audio description, and that works out really well.
I'm sure.
I have a question.
Yes, is that
Paul?
Go ahead, Paul.
Is that Paul?
Yeah.
Okay, is that what you're talking about with Siri, is that through Bluetooth? Because I notice on my iPhone, I have to push the home button for Siri to pop up.
Yeah. You, no matter what, you have to push your home button or your side button, depending on your model, to get Siri to talk to you. There is one thing, Paul, and I don't know if I had ever set it up with you. It's called Hey Siri. So the way that works, and I'm sure my phone's going to beep here in a second, it didn't. And the way that works is you practice saying a few statements that are required, and you might be able to do this. So if you go into settings, I can't remember exactly where it is, and it's under Siri. So you keep swiping to the right until you get to Siri, and Siri, I don't know if there's another name with it, but keep swiping. And when you get there, I think it's one of the very first things it'll say, set up Hey Siri, and you double tap that. And
right.
then you swipe to the right and it'll say, what time is it? Or play music. And it has about four or five statements that you make and you just say them loud and clear. And then there's a done button and then it's all set up.
Hold on real quick, just so he knows what it's training your voice. You're training Siri to understand your voice by saying certain words and phrases, and then it understands how you pronounce certain words so it can better adapt to your speech.
Right. Because I know when I'm on like Facebook and I want to send a message, I use dictation.
Right.
And if I don't talk real slow and real clear, it screws it up really bad.
Yes, it does. You got it. And that is very true. So you're using the dictation where you double tap with two fingers or look for the microphone button and double tap. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
right.
When the keyboard comes up, there's a little space to the left of the space bar. You can tap and it'll go to dictation.
Yep, and, absolutely. You do. And the thing that people sometimes may not understand is that the more you know, the more you can use punctuation, the more clear it'll be to your reader. So if you can say, how are you today? ? And don't say the word question. If you say the word question without the word mark, it will write the word question. And that's not what you want.
I just found out about punctuation like a week ago.
Oh, really? I'm sorry. We didn't go over that. But we went over a lot of stuff. Paul and I worked together virtually. And that's the only time we've never met in person, but we've worked together a number of times virtually. And, we've made some real progress.
Bonnie's made it possible, so I don't want to throw my iPad and iPhone against the wall.
Oh, I'm so glad.
But I've had two problems. The last update, my speaking rate on my iPhone, we had it completely locked out, and all of a sudden it's back again. Every time I move the iPhone,
so every time you get an update, that could happen. So what I do with people sometimes is, go ahead, Paul, were you going to say something else?
And the other thing is, I don't know if it's a timeout thing or whatever on the iPhone, but on the last update, if someone calls in and wants to leave a message, I had it all set up and everything, it's gone.
Oh, your voicemail?
My voicemail's gone.
Oh,
and it won't let me reset it up again. It's got a couple of different commands on there. It's like, what? Where do you touch this button? I got to find out where it is. And it's like, I can't find it.
Oh, my gosh. If you ever get to Anchorage, you've got to come in and see us, okay? And
I know.
Can help you. The one thing I was going to say, I'm trying to remember now. So what was the first thing you told us about, Paul?
The speaking rate.
The speaking rate. So what I've done occasionally is, you know, it's very easy to get that speaking rate under your rotor and not even realize it. And if you needed a slower speed, you may accidentally just flick up and it gets faster. And then the next time, and that's what I'm talking about, how it is difficult to keep your fingers sometimes from doing things you don't want them to do. So what I've done is I've set the speed and then I've gone and taken speaking rate off the rotor so that it doesn't even show speaking rate.
Mine is up right now. I've got to find out how to block it again. And I know you went over it with it before.
I'll do it with you again so we can talk about it this week.
Anyway, anytime I turn my iPhone on, I like touch the date or touch my code to go into my phone or just touch the screen, the speaking rate will change.
Okay. So first off, if that speaking rate changes, if it's too fast, just before you do anything, swipe down.
Yeah.
And then use your rotor. That's where you take the two fingers and turn
and
it
twist
and get out of speaking rate. And you know, if you can keep that in mind, you may not even need to change that speed.
You know, I've done that so many times.
Yeah.
The minute I turn my phone back on, it does it again.
Oh, I'm so sorry. There must be a little gesture you're doing as you turn that phone on and you're not even realizing.
I don't know. But we had it blocked out real good. It was for about 6 months.
Oh.
But anyway, that's all I got to say for right now.
Well, thank you for giving them some thoughts on that, Bonnie. So thinking of the rotor, one thing I've been using more that I put on my rotor is turn hints on, turn hints off. I don't know if anyone is using that. And so what happens when you turn speaking hints off, you get less verbosity with voiceover. So when you slide to something, say the clock, it doesn't say clock, double tap to open. It just says clock.
Right.
So I'll turn hints off, so it's less verbose all around.
Yeah.
But what I have noticed is some areas, like my bank, when I would go to my account before, it'll say the amount that's in that account. But if you have speak hints off, it won't give that information. So some areas won't give you information that you want. But in general,
it's right there on the rotor, so you can just flip it back on.
I can flip it back on. Yes. So I've been keeping that off a lot just to save myself hearing so much
voiceover. And it's even harder when you have speech going relatively slower. Like if you have your speech at, you know, 50 to 60%, you hear a lot of stuff and it's much harder when your phone is running really fast. It zips through it a little quicker for sure. But that's a good idea. I've definitely had that on my rotor. I don't think I have it on there right now, but I've definitely done that.
This is Charlie. I've got a question.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Well, yeah, thanks. So sometimes I believe it's a 6S. It's an oldie, but goodie. But when I'm trying to send an email, sometimes it'll shoot back. Cannot send mail. And then it's just, you know, and then, you know, it's either, you have to either okay or cancel or something like that.
Right.
But sometimes they can send it out no problem. So I don't know if there's something that, in, you know, operator error thing that's fouling it up, or if it's just one of the vagaries.
there's a couple things that could cause that, so it's hard to say. I mean, could be if you're using Wi-Fi in your home and you have a part of your home where Wi-Fi doesn't work very well and it can't go through, or maybe that you left the two-field blank so it doesn't know who to send it to. I mean, there's a couple different things that might cause that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right, so definitely want to check. And might want to check the...
Yeah, field. Start swiping through and make sure the fields are filled out, for yeah. sure. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you bet. Thanks.
Because and, you know, this new place I moved into, it's so large that my wireless doesn't quite cover the extreme. So I have to, you know, either make sure that it's switched over to cell data and it's not using, you know, internet data, you know, from my Wi-Fi router. So it's just, little things like that can throw you. And, my big pet peeve, and they had it fixed and now it's broken again, is the thing about playing your voicemail through the speaker and it wants to put it in the earpiece. The latest beta I have plays about 3 seconds in the speaker and then transfers it to your earpiece. But if you hold the phone to your ear, it'll play it through the speaker. So that's something that changes. One of those weird things that just changes with every new version of it. And I don't know why. I don't know how to get them to fix it. I just report it, and hopefully a few others will as well. But I've talked to others. I know it's not just me, but that's really annoying.
It seems like I don't ever remember being able to get voicemail. I don't know. I have to think about it.
But then someone told me if you tell Siri to play it, it'll play it through the speaker.
And that's what Siri hasn't been doing for people, is playing their voicemail.
Right.
And I didn't even know it would, I guess. And someone said, well, it used to. And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. So yeah.
Well, it was kind of buggy. Or you'd ask it, you know, it would say, yeah, we'll play your voicemail, read your messages, or read your, you know, what do you call those?
Text messages? No.
You know, your updates, whatever.
Oh, right. Notifications.
Yeah, notifications. Yeah, and sometimes it kind of half do it. And so.
Well, some days I can say Siri call so and so and it'll do it. And then, or message so and so. And then next time it says, you have to unlock your phone first.
Oh,
and
yes.
That's a little frustrating. The inconsistency.
Or I'm had it tell me this person is not in your contacts, and I know they're in my contacts.
Or my favorite is when I say call Bonnie Lucas, and it says, "What do you want to know about Bonnie Lucas?"
her height.
we've never even met in person, so yeah.
That's why I said Bonnie's like 5'10".
I am not. Try a foot shorter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Here's a question I have for anyone who may know. Well, kind of a two-part question. One, so, you know, nowadays we're doing a lot of, at least people I know, they're doing a lot of audio messages. When you go to a text message someone, you click on the record button, mm-hmm. and you can record yourself and send that to them. Does anyone know how to lock that record button down so you don't have to hold it the whole time? Because I know I've accidentally done it before where I've locked it in place and I can just move my thumb and it's working.
Well, and you've tried double tap and hold?
I have. I've tried like a double tap swipe up because I've seen that work like in WhatsApp or something, or not the other one. And then so here's the other part about the audio messages is if someone sends you a long 2 or 3 minute message, you have to swipe around on your phone so the screen doesn't lock, or else the message starts over. Does anyone know how to, trick to get about around that?
I don't know. You know, my frustration with that is I don't use it, but when I go to do Braille screen input, I am forever hitting that button. Then I have to get out of Braille screen input and delete the recording. It's messy. I was trying to send Michael a message just yesterday and my screen was locked and I was trying to respond to a text he sent. And I didn't want to open my phone, and I kept hitting that silly record button. I would, you know, put it on its side so I could type in Braille, and I hit that button every time. And then when I changed it, it was better. It's very annoying.
Here's something I've been featured, so I can't. Yeah, so you do that instead of using the voice dictation, Bonnie. You actually do Braille input.
Yeah,
and that's why your messages make more sense than the ones I send you, because I just
my messages. I'm like a perfectionist, and I go through and. No, I write everything out. Not always, but much of the time.
Well, you know what I do? And it's kind of frustrating, right? I'll sit there and use the of voice dictation, but then I'll go back and correct it. So I spend much more time fixing it than I got to get my head around doing Braille because maybe that's
the way. Well, a lot of guys tell me their fingers are too big, but if you have a big phone and if you're really good at, you know, if you've done a lot of Braille in your time, it can occasionally be quirky, but it has improved greatly. A couple things. I listened to an interview with that Judy Dixon did with Jonathan Mosen, and she talked about it. And then I've read the stuff about it. Looked at Apple Viz and some of the iPhone manual stuff too. So it's a wonderful thing.
I would agree. I used to do a lot of dictation. And I finally got really frustrated with it. Of course, I've been using Braille screen input for the past 5.5 years or so. And it's been out like several years before that. But there was one time I was traveling between Fairbanks, Alaska and Nashville, Tennessee. And I had some time and I actually was able to use that time to learn Braille screen input. And it's very good. I'm really glad I did because one of the things that would happen to me occasionally with dictation, and it was embarrassing. One time I sent something to Lori and I sent her a message. It used a 4-letter word that I never use. It put it in there from dictation. And then when I was sending something to a coworker and it threw something in there that was just totally off color. And it's like, I did not say that. And I got fed up with it at the time. Basically, I hardly use Siri for anything. I use it to call phone numbers.
Right.
And things like that sometimes. But, you know, as far as dictation, I mean, and the other thing I don't like about it is if I'm in public somewhere, I don't want to hear other people hearing what I'm saying anyway. Mm-hmm. So the Braille screen input has been really great. You know, even though I have a Braille display, which I don't always have connected anyway. But the Braille screen input, I have found, like what you were saying, Bonnie, using the right hand, the right three fingers first and then the left, reset it to make it work right. That works sometimes for me, but there are still sometimes I find out it just seems to go totally stupid and it refuses to do what I'm telling it to. And I found out that, well, the thing I've done is just turn VoiceOver off and then turn it back on. And, I mean, that often will clear it. If the three fingers things won't, but.
So, tell
them your tip, Bonnie, but hold on, let me put this, not everyone may know what Braille is.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. So, for people who know how to write with a Braille keyboard, many years ago, there were several apps where people were saying, okay, you can pretend you have a Braille keyboard so that it's a virtual keyboard, but you can put your fingers on it in the Braille form. And when you're writing on a Braille writer, for example, when you write certain letters, you know, you have the six dots and everything's combinations of those six dots. For example, and the dots are numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And let's just say the letter D is dots 1, 4, 5. So you're with your two hands, you can simulate that dot, formation of those dots, and it'll type a D. And Apple, you know, has created it so it will insert that D. And it will insert all the letters of the alphabet. It'll insert contractions, all that stuff. But like we're saying, can be a little quirky because sometimes the dots on my 8, the dots were never in the right place. It was just such a pain. But here's the little tip. So one thing you can do is you can hold your right fingers down and hear it go beep, 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 and it says calibrating. Then you hold the left fingers down and you just hold them there and it says calibrating. And however, what Judy Dixon said, and it works marvelously, is you don't hold them and wait. You put your right fingers down and then your left fingers down. Bump, bump, like that. And when you do that, it says dots calibrated.
I don't recall ever hearing mine do that, or even if I hold it for a long time. I don't recall mine ever saying that.
Are you using, there are the two different modes. I like the screen away mode and my fingers are at the end.
I use the one where I put the phone on its side. That's the one I almost always use.
Yes.
So I've got my, I've got an iPhone SE, which means my home button's on the side. So my home button is down. Volume control buttons are up. The home button is to the right.
Right.
And that's the way I almost always do it. That seems to work.
And
good
do you hold the, your fingers down and then hold the right fingers down and then the left fingers, or do you just do it quickly?
I pretty much have done it quickly, but I've tried the other two where I hold it for a long time. I don't think I've ever heard mine say.
Mine goes clink, clink, clink.
I don't know. I'll have to try it.
So with you, with that, I was curious because when you guys position your hands, you know, in that away mode, does it end up covering like the speaker? Because that's where sometimes I've had some trouble.
Yeah.
Is that then I can't hear the letters or contractions that I'm trying to type?
I know.
And I don't know. It's kind of confusing and kind of hard. And
I'm picking mine up right now. So I have my thumbs on the top and I don't have my, well, maybe I do. I don't know. Let's see here. Yeah. I try not to put my hand over the speaker. I just kind of lift it up a tiny bit and then my fingers meet in the middle. Next time you're at the center, I'll show you what I do. Yeah, I don't have my, like, my palms right close to it. At night, what I do, as I like lay it on my chest and I don't hold it at all. And I put those fingers in, man, it works really well then.
Okay, I want to acknowledge caller 28.
But I just, I try to keep my fingers away from it, from that, just that speaker. It's harder when I have it plugged in. It's much harder.
So, okay. So when you say your thumbs are on the top, are your pinkies kind of holding
on
the bottom half?
Yep. Yep.
Because that's where I said I was kind of, I guess, maybe trying to use the palms or close to that to hold the phone up to do it. And that's where I guess I can't hear it that well, or my fingers, it's, I get going and then all of a sudden it's not giving me the right letter or contraction and it keeps repeating the one I don't want.
It is something you have to get used to. And I just think it, you know, once you get used to it, it is very fun. And I definitely can write a lot more. I can write not as fast maybe, but pretty darn close to as fast as someone.
I got this vacuum in the background. I apologize, but
it's my footrest.
I have a vacuum here in the background. The cleaning lady is here at the center. But I just wanted to leave one tip because I do have to get going and work on these grants.
Well, I got a lot done.
I know. So one thing I've been using more is like with maybe something that has graphs and charts on my screen and I'm on the phone, like crypto or stocks, I'll snap a screenshot and then I can email it to somebody or text message. Yeah. And so with the phones, probably the 10, 11, 12s or 13s, I don't know if everyone knows to do a screenshot, you press your up arrow and your power button simultaneously and you hear the little like picture sound. And then on the screen, it says screenshot. And if you click that button, it pulls up the menu for you to be able to share it, and you can share it through all, you know, Gmail, Google Docs, messages, dot, dot, dot. But so if you're on maybe Amazon and there's something there you want to order, maybe want to describe to you, maybe it's clothing, maybe it's an appliance, boom, you can snap a picture of it and send it to somebody and say, hey, what does this look like?
Wow.
So that's something that's been helpful for me lately is a screenshot.
Okay. So it's basically your up volume and your either side button or home button, right?
It's your up button with your side power button.
Oh, okay.
Your up volume
up
and your lock screen or
okay,
power
yeah, yeah. I used to accidentally do that all the time because I would turn it up as I would lock it or something. I had one. There was a long time where I did that constantly.
So you say with Nate, you say with charts and stuff like that, that it helps with something.
Yeah, if I'm using my phone and there's something on the screen that I want to get somebody to describe to me, I'll snap a picture of it just using a screenshot of it, up arrow and the lock button, and it takes a picture. Then a screenshot button pops up and I tap it and then I have the option to share it or put it in my, you know, camera roll.
Nice.
That is really a good idea.
So I guess that only works for, I just tried that on my SE. It doesn't seem to work on an SE.
I think on yours, it may be the up arrow home button. It's a different combination.
Yeah, that's like, this has three. Okay. I was using the power button. Let me try that. Let's see.
Yeah.
Oh, That's what it is on my phone. I have the 8 Plus, so it's an oldie too, to a certain degree. And I do a screenshot by the lock button and the home button together.
Oh, it's the lock button and home button.
Lock button and home button together. Yeah, you may want to look up your model, but I think the 10, 11, 12, 10 and up, or maybe whatever does not have a home button.
That's right. Yeah, thank you, Katie. That worked. Yeah, the home button and the home button and the power button. The what do you call it? Yeah,
the lock.
The home and the lock together. And then you hear the camera sound, and then it pops up a thing with screenshot on the screen there. So, yeah, cool. Yeah.
You want to learn a lot of tricks? Ask a teenager. That's what I learned.
But then you need somebody that's using VoiceOver, though, too. Yeah, that's for sure.
I'll tell you one thing that back to Braille screen input, putting my passcode in is like incredibly fast. I love it because those numbers just, I can do those numbers in my sleep, and I've just done them for so long, and it's really, really nice. So I'm going to try it with mine. So you're saying volume up and the lock button if you have a newer model, right? So
yes, arrow up, lock button almost simultaneously.
Yep, it's a screenshot button. So that button that you double tap that.
And then you can share it from there. You can share it, save it, ... other things.
Okay.
But I'm gonna go before the vacuum gets too loud anyway. But thanks for sending me the reminder, Bonnie, and you all have a good rest of your day. And Bonnie, thank you. Michael, thank you. Everyone else who put this state convention together. Appreciate it.
We have one more session. You'll be able to hear Terry's talk. And
what time will that be?
Thanks, Nate.
We're saying 5:30 at this point.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
let's change it to 5. We're going to do it at 5. Okay, that's right.
Mine's not going to take too long anyway, so it can be give or take. It's just going to be just a brief run through.
I don't want to make it too early because maybe, just maybe, someone was planning on coming to that. You never know, but I'm happy to do it as early as everybody thinks we can get away with it. 4:30 would be fine with me.
Whatever the schedule says, I stay with the schedule.
Yeah, let's 5 o'clock, and then we get it.
We got the. I mean, it's on the schedule at 5, isn't it?
I think so. I don't know why I said 5:30. Yeah.
So I have a question before Nate gets away, but you know, if you have to go, I understand. I was just curious, recommendations about Bluetooth headphones with an iPhone, because I had an old pair of Insignias that I thought I liked them pretty well, and I liked them because they were also corded headphones that I could plug into my mixer or whatever, and then I could use Bluetooth. But ever since iOS 14, now they broke anyway, but then they just would lose sync. When I'd play music, they would just, like, they would miss a beat, miss a few beats, or it'd be slow. And I'm just curious, you know, if anybody, I'd be curious to hear what people like as far as good Bluetooth headphones that have decent audio and that work good with the later iOS's.
Did Nate already leave? What are you using, Michael? Do you have headphones? I'll tell you, Brian, I did purchase the Aftershocks with the microphone that Michael talked about.
With the boom?
The
boom mic? Oh, okay.
Yes. And I think I like them. It's a little bit wonky with my hearing aids because what happens is, I think, I don't know exactly what happens. I don't hear as well with them on, but I think that's just me. And I need to do it without the hearing aids in some time and see how it works.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, but I think they are good, and I heard them demonstrated, and they actually are noise canceling as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't hear anything. The person was in a car driving, couldn't hear anything.
That's cool. I have a pair of wired Aftershocks. They might be the very first ones they came out with. I got them at the 2015 convention.
Oh, yeah.
We were in Orlando, and I still use them. They're good. Mm-hmm. These are wired.
Oh, they're wired.
And they were good. The thing I was impressed about is that they got a good microphone in them for doing telephone calls. They seem to work really good. The audio isn't the greatest, but you know, they're great because they're, you know, I don't have to have my ears covered up, and I've used them. It's just the wire gets in the way and it's a pain. And so I'd like to go to Bluetooth. Another issue for me right now is I do have some hearing loss in my left ear. And it's, what it is, it's because I had a hole in my eardrum. I've had it repaired twice, and the second time worked, but it still didn't come back to what it was. But one of the things that we found out is that with bone conducting things, that bypasses that, and the nerve is good. And so you know, bone conduction is a way of getting around that issue. But
well,
it has
buying the latest, if you get the very latest versions of the AirShocks, those seem to work better. I've only noticed one little people I've talked to. I only noticed one glitch. Like if you mute and then unmute, there's this weird kind of audio anomaly that comes in as like a background hiss. But yeah. Those are the cleanest as far as if you get the latest version of the Apple Shock. So again,
does that audio hiss you're talking about? Does that go away, or is that just a temporary thing?
I think I heard someone talking about it, and maybe that's actually improved, but I don't know for sure. Do you know how long
it was back February, March, when Clubhouse was all the rage. We were able to play with it in there.
I have the PLT Legend, and it's just one that kind of, it's like one that goes over your ear with, and it's got a microphone. But it's kind of, it sits and covers the back of your ear. It kind of goes to the top and the back, almost like an L shape. And it can connect Bluetooth to multiple things. I've got an iPhone plus a PC, so it can do both of them at the same time or individually. And it does really well. And I don't have a problem.
Is that an AfterShocks? Is that an AfterShocks?
No, it's a Plutonix. It's just Bluetooth. But the only thing I'm having trouble lately is with the masks, to where you've got the masks over your ears and then the sunglasses on top of that and then the Bluetooth.
Yeah, have you thought about that? A pair of sunglasses, Ryan.
Yeah, the Bose.
Well, Bose.
What about those?
There's a couple others.
Those are pretty ones, neat, Michael? Though, too.
Michael, the new ones, you said?
Yeah, Anker, the brand Anker, A-N-K-E-R.
Mm-hmm.
Glasses with speakers on either side. That way, you know, it's not blocking your hearing. I don't know how good they are, but that might
tried
be one.
Tried some, and they sounded really well.
Yeah, and the thing about the AfterShocks, which, you know, they used to tout, and it's simply not true. They say, well, you know, it's bone conducting and nobody else can hear it. Well, they're kind of loud, and you can hear it. And I've even heard that as a complaint on even the latest versions that have come out.
Right.
Although I'm sure they're better than the ones I have. Part of the difficulty I have too, quite frankly, is I have a beard and I have sideburns. And so sometimes, you know, you got to get a good, place to put those, the little transducers or whatever they are to get the bone conduction to work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they kind of slide around. And the last ones I have, the wired ones, you know, it's got that loop that goes behind your head.
Right.
Getting them to stay put. And the other thing I wish, you know, with these things, I mean, I try to use echolocation some, although with my hearing issue, it's not nearly as good as it used to be. But I sometimes have wondered if having that little thingy in front of the ears is the greatest thing. I'd rather have it somewhere else because I want the front view totally unobstructed, you know, as far as something there. So yeah, I've been looking at different options as far as that, but then just also trying to find a good set that's just good for listening too, a good set of Bluetooths.
iPhone, I mean, they're pricey, but the AirPods actually are the best because Apple uses a different technology than Android does, and so it's hard to find ones that really sound good, I think.
Yeah, and the other thing is I know what Apple has done for a long time. I mean, they're using proprietary stuff to, in a certain words, lock other people out of things, or, you know, you may be able to do it with something else, but it won't be as good. It won't work as well. And one of my complaints right now, for example, with my Insignias was, they had fairly decent audio. I mean, they weren't the greatest, but they were pretty good. Mm-hmm. But what I found out was that anytime I tried to do a Skype call, I mean, Skype, I hardly ever use Skype anymore, but I still got it on my phone. But anytime I tried to use Zoom or to use my phone when I'm talking with somebody that has a modern phone that's using one of the newer codecs that works good, that it would still revert back to this low quality, old style telephone mode for the audio. And, you know, like if I had my regular, wired stock iPhone headphones that came with the iPhone, it would sound mm-hmm. great. But if I was on Zoom with these phone with this Bluetooth, then it sounded like a telephone call, and I didn't like that. I was wondering if the iPod, if the AirPods do that, or if they would still deliver the quality you could get.
Oh yeah, you'd still be getting the quality no matter what you did. Yeah. I think.
Well, that's good. That's here.
Do you have AirPods, Michael?
I have the original, the first gen.
Oh wow, okay.
So they sound pretty good just for, you know, voice calls. But again, same issue, right? Where people can hear things that you may not want to hear. But they do sound good. They're very clean. And Apple's is very proprietary. You are correct. And there's things that don't work well in Apple, and you take an Android or some kind of tablet, and they sound great and they work great.
Well, I noticed that in Skype even a long time ago. You know, years ago, we'd use Skype. I tried using Skype for a remote broadcast one time, and it didn't sound terrible. But it wasn't, the audio coming back to me in both ways wasn't the quality I knew Skype could do. And, you know, I was running it on an iPhone, and it's just the way it goes, I guess. But wow.
Well, I can just tell you, if you want something really good, these Bose headphones that I have, I was just talking to Michael about them this morning. Yesterday I didn't have them. I don't even know if they do or don't. They're wired, of course, and they're over your head, and you know, they're bigger, but they're not huge. You know, but that's all I'm using right now. I'm not even really very close to my computer. I'm just kind of,
Yeah, you sound good. It's good audio. Well, the thing about those AirPods too is I know if you went to the second generation, and you were saying, Michael, the third generation's coming out Monday.
That's maybe? What I hear, and they're supposed to have some
interesting
tools for improving hearing.
That'll be interesting. Because even those AirPods,
voice cancellation and things we can hear in front of you, or you know, normalize.
It's good to shop around. If you want those AirPods, it's good to shop around because Amazon or their others will, or even Walmart. Sometimes I've seen where they'll put those on sale, and you can get them substantially, you know, somewhat at least lower than what the normal Apple price is.
You can get a brand called ONN for like a little over $20, and I'm not saying they're quite there, but they're pretty close. I mean, they sound
really
good for if you want something economical with that wireless capability, you know, where you're not tethered with a cable.
Interesting.
I should try hooking my whatever they're called, aftershocks up to the computer because they don't have a wire, and I'm used to putting things on, doing Bluetooth on my iPhone. I don't even think twice.
It depends what your computer Bluetooth has in it. If you got 5.0, it should work okay. If you got an older Bluetooth,
it's a little older.
Yeah,
it's like 4 or 5 years old, I would say. It's an older Dell.
Good luck. I think you're back to 3.2 probably. So,
I don't know. What do you think of the new aftershocks as far as, have you guys had experience? Will they differentiate in quality? Like if you're doing a Zoom call as opposed to, do they
and
handle Apple?
Like I said, I haven't had them on my face. So I talked to someone using them. Mm-hmm. And so I was on the other end. It was Clubhouse and it was pretty good. They definitely had improved. I don't know if I call it broadcast quality. If you're talking to a radio station, I don't know that I quite put it there.
What I was referring to was the audio I would get.
I don't know. I've never had them on my head.
Okay.
I was so disillusioned with the pair that I bought back in whatever it was, 2016. I thought Bluetooth was just horrid. I mean,
yeah, I'd heard that and I didn't want to spend the extra money. And I know the first version I got, I wasn't hearing good stuff about the Bluetooth, so I didn't even try to go that route. And the wired version was, you know, stable. It's just having a wire is a real pain, you know, trying to set that up, especially in the wintertime, trying to get it to go up through my coat so I don't have it hanging out.
Oh, yeah, no.
All that other stuff. I mean, yeah.
There are some eye headphones. It's like the earbuds that they connect to each other and go behind your neck. So, because, you know, like some of the earbuds for the iPhone are just where they go in the charger and individually go in your ear, but it's a possibility of us easily dropping and losing it.
Yes.
So they have a cord that goes between the two to where if you drop, it's easier to hold on to both of them and have one maybe out and listen to what's around you and have one in to continue with whatever.
That's a great idea.
Seems like JJ had some.
There is one. I think
like
I found one in Walmart.
Oh.
But hopefully they've improved it. Cause I was hearing things, but I liked that concept of where it holds on to the two items.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
And then it's
I
not.
Mean, with the money you spend on AirPods? AirPods, whatever, yeah. You know, to lose one just sounds incredibly, you know, frustrating. And I know the newer ones, like the second generation, they have multiple tips. I've never actually had my hands on one. I'd like to try them, but you know, I've heard they have multiple tips. So mm-hmm. that means that you can try to customize it for your particular ear. I have a problem, especially in my left ear, where, you know, I just know if I, like my earbuds that come with the iPhone, they just don't stay in.
No, they're worthless.
Well, someone I have a lot of respect for, and I wouldn't do this, but he swears it works great. He had a second generation AirPods and he was using it, with GPS. He would use that Microsoft.
What's
the name of that? Soundscape.
Yep.
But he said you could turn it on so that it hears, got microphones so you can hear what's going on around you. And
they're supposed to give you ambient noise.
Right.
So it does. It gives you little ticks and things to let you know where you are. I mean, you know, like if the street is on your right side, you're coming up to something and stuff like that.
But he's referring to you want to hear the ambient noise around you at the same time. You don't want to block that out.
Right.
He's using Soundscape, so he's getting that direction, but also hearing what's going on around him. He swears it works great.
And what is he using?
Well, he's got an iPhone and he's got the second generation AirPods.
They work good and they give you that feedback. That's great. You know, that's fact, you know, in a sense, you might be able to use it kind of as a hearing aid if you did, you know, a cheap one.
Saying this third generation that they're going to introduce Monday. So I'm going to listen.
That's interesting. That is very interesting.
I'm kind of needing to do something. And
See, that's where I'm at right now. I think they may have done all they can do physically to fix it. And I know I've got the ringing and the lower hearing out of there. And one of the things that's been nice with the iPhone though, and I've used this before, is you can get into that accessibility section, the hearing section. You can change the left-right balance on there. And I used to run that because like when I've had one of my surgeries, I was running at 80-20, because I couldn't hear very good out of that ear. And, you know, now I'm running at 50-50, or I was running at 60-50 for a long time, but that's a great feature. I'm glad it's there.
There are apps, but don't ask me the name because I don't have it on my phone now. It started with an F and I can't think of it. There's a couple different ones. So it's an app that you can actually use like a hearing aid so you can adjust it, and it uses the microphones. And I mean, I could hear, you know, like mosquitoes jumping on and off the ceiling and stuff. So
serious?
But the But the downside was that you lose your ability to judge distance, right? Because everything, that's my concern and fear about getting hearing aids is I can't have that distance to know 5 feet from 15 feet or when within reach or a little far away, right? So that's.
Well, the thing about it right now for me, it's been frustrating for the last 3-4 years is that because I don't hear equally out of both ears, my whole ability to locate where something is way worse than it used to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to be really good at it, and now I've found out, boy, I dropped something, and it's like, wait a minute, where did that fall? You know, it's gotten better because, it has gotten better than it was, but still not what it should be.
Yeah, I'm mishearing words. My brain hears something that rhymes with it, but it's not, you know, I guess that's one of the first signs, right?
It definitely is. Yeah. And what I would say is, you know, if you have good hearing aids and someone who adjusts them well, because they hook them up to the computer, most kinds anyway, then you can, it's like occasionally I think, I can't tell where that sound's coming from. That's one of my issues. But, and then I just listen again and then I can tell. But yeah, I'm sure I'm missing some things. I don't seem to have as much problem gauging the distance from where I am so much. And maybe I'm just so used to them and that easily could be. I always say, you know, when you don't have your eyes to do the work that your ears do, and then your ears start getting, when you don't have your eyes to do that work of looking around and everything, it is really important, in my opinion, in my personal experience, to have my ears at working at top notch. I know when I was a voc rehab client, that was the one of the things that I said. I wrote a letter to justify them paying for hearing aids for me because I was getting ready to go get into another graduate program. And I needed new hearing aids. And I just simply wrote them and said, you know, when you're sighted, you can look at people's expressions. you can watch their lips. And people, I guess the research is that people don't get as much out of lip reading as sometimes we believe. But if you get any, it's better than if you're blind and you can't see a person's lips. You can't tell what they're saying at all, or what they say sounds garbled and stuff. I just said it is very important to be able to hear if I can't see. And so, yeah, I justified it and they did purchase them for me, but they are expensive. I know that they're trying to come up with cheaper versions, and I think something, was it Bose? They may have released some recently.
But they're not true hearing aids. They're audio amplifiers, and I guess they're right. Pretty good, but they're not true by definition hearing aids. But
yes,
$100.
And that's the thing to know about hearing aids is they look at the whole spectrum of sound, and it's kind of like glasses in way. You know how glasses, people can get glasses that magnify in certain areas if that's where you're needed. Like they have the line and you look below it and things are bigger, or, you know, and it magnifies some. So with hearing aids. Oh, who's that? Who said that? Somebody just wrote in the chat. Unmute yourself and tell us something. Did anybody else see that? Hear that? But what I was going to say is what I wanted to say too is that they look at the whole spectrum, and where you have loss, they turn up those areas of frequency. So if it's a higher frequencies, which in many and most cases, that is what goes the most than the first, those higher frequencies, then they can turn up the hearing aid there. And then you can use more of your natural hearing to hear other things. The things that you actually don't have trouble hearing, the person, usually the voice tones, which are lower. But it's kind of interesting too, and that is if you're missing high frequencies, then it's certain letters that you mix up, because those letters actually occur. They are high frequency letters, like the letter D and F. Sometimes it's really hard to tell those apart. And I don't know what all of them are. I haven't really studied it, but yeah.
Well, I'm very excited to see what they announce Monday. I'm a geek, though. I mean, yeah, I don't trust some audiologists to. I mean, I want to be able to tweak it myself. That's fine if they get it in the ballpark, but I like the concept of. Although then you're limited if you have to have your iPhone and enough battery life that it doesn't die on you. But I like that concept that I can control it and make adjustments. You know, if I'm outside or inside or in a restaurant versus a more quiet environment.
Yes, they can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm trying to find the message that was written in.
That may have been written to you specifically. I don't know. The only message I see in the chat was from Janetta Price at 2:27 this afternoon.
Right? My computer just said something about a message in hearing aids.
Oh, weird. Okay.
But I can't find it. So that was really weird.
anything either, Bonnie. I wonder if it was somebody who was unmuted and you heard their background.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think it came from here.
Definitely my jaw saying something about, I don't know, something about hearing aids. I don't know. So Terry, glad you're on. I haven't looked at the, and I saw there are 13 participants, but my computer's not reading them really well.
Oh, I've been here the whole time. I just bring my computer all over the house with me while I'm doing laundry and cleaning the house.
How old are your kids?
They're 10 and 12, and they're hanging out with the neighbor today.
They're hanging out what?
With the neighbor today.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, where am I? I'm not even in Zoom.
But that was cool, creating that card, business card, whatever, with the Zoom info in it, and you could just send it to people as long as they know how to add it as a contact, and they could just...
Oh, the contact card.
Right. So I sit there and did Call Alaska Convention. I could call in just to make sure everything was working. And
yeah. No, it's pretty handy. I love making those cards for people.
That's what I'm going to do now for our Zoom calls. We have a number of seniors that have challenges.
Yeah.
And we were using on the ones we get from National NFB, you actually can make outbound calls. And we did that with the convention and taught a lot of people how to raise their hand so they could vote. But that's a trick on the phone because it's hard for some people to hit star and then get to 6 or 9 quick enough. Zoom only gives you about a second.
Mm-hmm.
So that's.
Yeah. That seems to have gotten worse on the later iOS versions. We're trying to scroll around the screen and find the numbers. So like if you're in a call and like a call a doctor's office and it says for this option, press 4 or 5, it seemed like it used to work a lot better and faster. And now it doesn't seem as.
Yeah. The hang up function now has been janky. I don't know what. So I'm using beta. So I got to get out of the beta.
Uh-huh. I have a question for you folks. I'm just curious. It's annoying. I was listening to a Jonathan Mosen podcast recently. I think think it might have been his most recent. Well, mm-hmm. one of the things, he was talking about the Siri thing too. One of the people that was listening to the podcast wrote to Jonathan and basically passed along a message from Apple support that she had gotten.
Oh, I heard that, yes.
And that was basically saying what you said. And some of the things went away. Some are coming back, but it may be a while. Mm-hmm. But then as far as the other thing, one of the things that they were talking about, a lady named Jessica wrote into the podcast and was saying, an issue that she was having with iOS 15 was that if you make a phone call or receive a phone call, and then when the phone call hangs up, whether you initiate it or somebody, or the other person hangs up, VoiceOver goes silent for a period of time and won't come back. And
I have that issue now. Yeah, once
I have that issue, but I've had that issue ever since I upgraded to 14. And so she was talking about it in 15.
It's better in 15, but okay. I've seen it. And you
I've seen it in
14.
While,
I just
yeah, I think I have to. Yeah.
I just turn it off since, like you said, you got an SE. Yeah. Just turn it back on. But
just turn it off and on. But because sometimes, well, one time I wanted to try it out. So I waited for a long time. Maybe
sometimes,
for,
what I think
maybe hours. And I just left it alone.
What I think may be happening, Brian, is the thing is the device is getting confused and confusing that two finger as a three finger. So it's turning speech off. So,
I've wondered that.
Yeah, just
no,
do a finger double tap and turn your speech back on. It's what I think.
In my instances, I don't believe that's what happened because, as she was saying, and as I found out, it didn't matter whether I did it or I've seen it both ways, where when I tried to hang up or when I just waited till they hung up, and it still happened.
Right. Well,
and everything was silent, you know, sounds, the whole deal. And the only way I was able to get it back was to turn VoiceOver on and off and back on again. Which was very annoying.
Totally.
So I wondered, and apparently, you know, my comment was apparently it wasn't just in 15. I've seen
it's better,
it
but
ever
it's
since.
Still there.
Oh, okay.
That's
too bad.
Well, if it's better, maybe it's worth upgrading.
Well, I'm on 14.8 right now, and I just upgraded. I think I upgraded. Maybe it's been about a week, and I have not had it happen yet. But it doesn't happen all that often anyway. Yeah. So. We'll see if how long it takes for it to manifest itself.
What's frustrating is an update comes out, they fix it, and the next update, it's broken again. And
It
just gets frustrating because you think, oh, great, this is finally resolved, and they just keep recurring.
Like one of the reasons I upgraded recently, I was having, seemed like my battery drain was pretty bad. And so actually when I upgraded to 14.8, I must have reset something or whatever. My battery life is a lot better again now. So I don't know what was causing that. I haven't gone to 15 just because I've heard of a few weird things. And I use my phone for work and a lot of things. So I don't like to be on the bleeding edge of things. And I know we're not totally with, because there are beta testers and stuff, but you know, it's kind of nice. I'll wait a little while after an update, a major update before I put it in.
Yeah. For me, 15 was one of the most stable versions. I mean, it's got a few little issues, but it was so superior to 14. I just had problems all the way through 14.
Mm. But yeah, 14's been pretty good.
I really think it makes a difference.
I
think SE is different from the 12 or the 11 or the 13. And
What do you have, Michael?
I have the 2020 SE.
Okay. And I have
I've
got. 12 mini is what I have. And I love the size of it.
I got the SE right when it first came out. Last May I got it. So
May or June. I got it, yeah.
I
thought I like it for the size, but now the battery life and the sound quality leaves a little to be desired. So,
well, I can tell you that even the 12 has pretty good sound. It definitely has the stereo speakers, and it does sound good. But the bigger ones. So Nate just got a 13, and it's not as big as the Plus. It's actually not a bad size. It's probably bigger than I may want, but I liked it quite a lot actually when I took a look at it.
The regular one's 5.4 and the Pro is 6.1 and the Max is 6.8 or something like that.
Wow.
That's huge.
Yeah, I know when the iPhone, was it the 6 first came out? I felt that and it says, there's no, man, I'm carrying around a little iPad or a little tablet. You know, I want a phone. I don't want a tablet. I don't want this big thing carrying around. And, for a long time I had an iPhone, a 5S. So when I went to the SE, it's a little bigger and that was nice, but it still wasn't the extreme. And the other thing, too, as far as audio quality, one of the things that does seem to degrade that a little bit is putting an OtterBox on it.
Don't buy OtterBox. Those things are awful.
That's what I've got on mine. Yeah. And I've been very happy. I've had OtterBoxes on phones ever since I had a 4S in 2012.
I mean, I'm all for cases. I have one literally dissolve in my hand.
I won't buy
that particular brand. It doesn't
work. No, I've never had trouble with OtterBox. The only thing with OtterBox is that the belt clips will break after a while. But as far as the case itself, I've been very pleased with it. And,
it's got built-in battery, which makes my phone weigh probably too much for a lot of people. But
that's probably a good idea.
So I have just the neoprene case that covers the bottom and sides, and then I put a piece of glass. I put that glass over it, or I don't. I get someone else to do it because that's one of those tasks that I don't even attempt because my husband can barely get it on without it having
issues. The honor boxes are a little tricky to get them on, that's for sure.
Yeah, you might have called 911.
This is just the glass.
Yeah. And once you get them on, you don't generally take them off, too much because But I don't know.
Brian, what do you like about, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was curious about the SE that you have. Do you like having the home button versus
Yeah, that's one thing. I wanted a home button. I didn't want to spend close to $1,000 or more for an iPhone for mostly the features at the time that I didn't care about so much, like the great camera, the great, retinal recognition or whatever it could do. I didn't care about that. I just wanted the fast bionic, whatever that was, the i13 chip. And I was willing to fit in for $400, as opposed to over $1,000.
That was a surprise point. $399, it had A13 chip, which was pretty fast. And
for another $100 to get it up to 128 gig memory instead of 64. Yeah, I don't remember now, but I thought that was a good deal.
Yeah.
So you're happy with it? I'm just curious because I've had my phone for almost 3 years now, and it's like giving me problems, like a lot of echoing through the Bluetooth or even without the Bluetooth.
Have you turned off the noise cancellation or turned on the noise cancellation, I should say?
Well, are you talking about on
I don't
the
know.
Phones? Or are you talking about on the phone itself?
On the phone itself, it's echoing, it's freezing up, it's one of the big issues if I'm talking with some, like doing customer service and they need some information like an ID number or whatever and I have to go somewhere else in the phone to get it. Like the screen will black out when I try to touch the screen.
Which model is it?
It's an 8.
I have an 8 Plus.
Oh, 8 Plus. Yeah.
That's what I had. I kind of miss the 8 Plus. It sounded a lot better than this SE, but yeah, you may be having some issues. Screen could be going out.
I have one person. Oh, someone had a 6S. So the one thing I wanted to say about a 6S is it is possible that there may be, if you have AT&T, and I don't know about GCI, but if a person has AT&T, it's possible you might be able to get a decent trade-in on it, and then they just would add it to your phone bill. And it can be as little as, like in the case of one of my daughters, it's like 50 cents, I think. And she had a 6S and she traded up to, I want to say a 12 max, not a max, but a 12. Maybe it's a max. I don't know. Anyway, so I think for people who have AT&T and again, I can't speak for GCI, but I would check with your carrier and see if there's a way to trade up to a newer model. The one thing I will have to say is the SE is the only one that still has the home button. Now, when you don't have the home button, there are, you can get into it. It took me a little while to learn. You can also set up double taps and taps on the back of your phone. So at first, and I couldn't figure out how to do this. I let Aubrey do it, young person. Anyway, to get into my phone, I can double tap the back of it and it'll do the unlock. And then I still have to type in my passcode, but that's just the numbers. I'm going to use Braille screen input. And so what I don't have to do, which is really nice, is I don't have to slide up when I do that. But I eventually got really good at sliding up. So I can slide up and you kind of do it in segments. You slide up a little bit Come on. And then you, well, to get to the app switcher, you slide up and then you slide up some more and then you're in the app switcher. But I can also, I'm going to get out of the app switcher. I can also tap the back of my phone 3 times and it opened app switcher and said app switcher has no items. So then I can just double tap twice.
Okay. That's pretty cool and interesting. My question though is for school, you know, because I'm going into and starting my recordings and doing things for social work program, I have to do these like 10-minute videos, you know, a recording of like intakes and the assessments and the engagements. Mm-hmm. And then I have to put them on Digication. Connecting my iPhone to the computer I can do, but being able to easily upload or send by email for the phone, is there a better recommendation between the SE or one of the others if I'm going to update?
Okay, let's back up a little bit. If you're emailing big files, there's limitations on how big something can be and go through email. So
that's true.
Course, but if I just connect it with a cool
to a service, because of limitations, the iPhone, to me, if you really want to get big files on or off of it, I would encourage installing and using Dropbox too. But do you have a computer as well and you need to get things between your phone and your computer, or is it just Dropbox is your phone there.
Okay, because I connected the iPad to the phone because my phone was about dead, so I had to connect the iPad. But either one, I just used the cord to connect, and then someone had to help me find to edit and create to get to the files on the computer to where you can find your Apple iPad or your iPhone and find the picture that way or the video that way.
So I would think what you could do, if you put Dropbox on your phone, usually when you create a video using even just the Apple stuff, voice recorder, you can share that item and you can share it with Dropbox if Dropbox is on your phone. So once it's in Dropbox, then you can, what can you do? So you can send a link to that person and then they just click on the link and they've got your recording. They can sample it, listen to it, whatever. And the size is less important.
But I have to put it on my computer or on the phone. I have to have it to where I access it from this Digication website.
So platform. I don't know if Digication is one of the things you can share it with.
Well, but the point is, if you can get it on the computer, then you can do the other part.
That's true. And
if you have Dropbox on your computer, then you can find it.
Absolutely. So, okay. Yeah, that's what
and
I used
to
do.
You can configure, Katie, when you set it up, when you do your video on the phone, and as soon as it's done, it automatically uploads it to Dropbox for you. So.
Oh.
Yeah, and then all you have to do is open your computer, and it says, do you want to sync them both? I think you get asked that question, and then you just open your computer and go to Dropbox. There it is. You can see it on your phone. That's actually what I'm doing with OneDrive right now. I can see everything from work and from home on my OneDrive. I can see it on both computers, my work computer and my home computer. So,
okay.
So, and iTunes might be another option, but I don't know. iTunes, yeah, exactly. I was thinking, I hate iTunes.
No, go away, iTunes.
Yes, and it seems to be especially bad. I think Mac users have better success with iTunes. iTunes.
I think Apple intentionally wanted nobody to use iTunes very well on their PC.
Yeah, they really want you to do iCloud. They want you to pay for.
Yeah, if there was ever a reason I wanted to jailbreak my phone, it's because of iTunes.
Ugh. Yeah. We're down to 2 minutes, so we went final thoughts.
I just want to say thank you. It was a great discussion. We need to do this a little more often. I thank you, all of you who are just patiently listening. I want you to know that we are, all of us, here for you. If you have a question and I can't answer it, I will find someone that can. I know most of you... I don't know. I haven't looked at the list lately, but I am familiar with a good many of the people because I have taught iPhone. I love that. I am not as knowledgeable as some of these guys, but I definitely think that being able to share what I know with you is great. And as I said, if there's something you need help with, our goal is to help you and make sure you can use your device as well.
Well, we never all know everything. I've always found that out in these kind of discussions. It's always great because I learned a few new things today. I'm always thankful for that. And I like these kind of things because when we talk about things, we'll find out that we can share experience and share knowledge that, we just not one person can know everything.